and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev.
How's your week?
Not great, to be honest.
Not great?
No.
Well, let's get into this first. I mean, mine's okay. I've got something odd that's bothering me, but we'll come to that. Why has yours not been great?
It's kind of like complaints like buses this week. They've two have come along together at the same time. And I don't normally get complained about, but I've had two work complaints this week.
Oh, I mean, I did it anonymously.
No, I get so I've just sort of lost faith in humanity at this point.
Well, welcome to the club, mate.
I know.
I mean, you're at the age now where you should have lost faith in humanity. I reckon I lost my faith in humanity certainly in my 20s.
We've had a new member of staff start at work recently, a young lady, and she was very much look on the bright side, silver lining. Oh, there's still hope, and yes, it seems difficult, but there's always a solution to every problem.
She went
bounding out of the office, and I just turned to a friend and said, oh, she's still got hope, bless her.
Yeah, it soon goes. I don't want to get too personal, but how old would you say she is roughly? Don't be precise, but 20s?
I would say early 20s.
Early 20s. I mean, when I work with people, you get the young people come in and they're all very excitable. They're all full of enthusiasm. And then I worked for a company for a long time, and I used to watch young people come in and then watch them decline fairly quickly. You know, they'd come in, they go, oh, yes, lovely to be here, it's great. And then you'd work with them for a few days, and then a few weeks had passed. And then you get to, I reckon after about 2 months, you go, everything all right? Yeah. You go, it's all problematic, isn't it? And yeah. Yeah, it is. Nobody knew this, but you know when you're put in a position where someone sort of put under your wing for a little while, if you're new. And I gave up sort of selling the companies I worked for when that happened. I just used to talk to them and go, well, what you'll find is a lot of stuff here is really shit. I mean, it's not a terrible place to work, but I don't want you to think that everything's going to run like clockwork, that everyone is nice. You'll find very quickly that most things are shit. Some people are pretty horrible.
Yeah.
But if you stick with the ones you like, you'll be all right. But just don't expect too much. And I reckon you can say that no matter where you work.
Oh, yeah. I remember quite vividly on my first day at my current job, a very good mate of mine, a guy called Dino, he was the one who was in charge of taking me under his wing.
Yeah.
I ended up working with him for as a sort of duo for about a year. Great time. Lovely bloke. But on day one, he went, welcome to the company. If you fall down and you have some kind of medical emergency, people in here will climb over your lifeless corpse so that they can get out of the door 2 minutes faster.
Yeah, of course.
And he was absolutely right.
Yeah, it's the way of the world, Ben, but it's just, you learn it as you get older. But anyway, you've had complaints this week, so who's been complaining about you?
The worst, the general public.
I love it when people say the general public. I never really understand what the general public means. There was a brilliant thing the other day about all the strikes, which I support, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm on brother, I'm on your side.
Thank you.
I'm behind all the strikes. And there was a brilliant thing that someone had put up on, I think it was on Twitter, where, they send out stupid journalists to ask fucking stupid questions. I mean, the quality of journalism has gone downhill massively on telly, by the way, I think.
Oh, I know.
But in all areas. I tell you the one I really hate the most in sport, in the sporting world. You watch a game of football, rugby, whatever sport it is you watch, and as a competitor gets near the end, as they're heading towards maybe the semi-final or the final of something, the first thing any interviewer says to them now is, well, you're a semi-finalist. How does that sound? It's a stupid fucking question. Sounds great, doesn't it? Of course it sounds great. You're a champion. How does that feel? Brilliant. Ask a fucking intelligent question, you moron.
The equivalent happens, though, as well. You get people who, are in the sort of darker side of the news, the journalists, who have got to go and approach families of murder victims and think, oh, and how do you feel? How the fuck do you think they feel?
Stupid questions, right? So they were interviewing some people on a picket line. I think it might have been the nurses. And they asked the question, I mean, do you feel that the general public will be on your side. And their answer was, I don't know if that, this was what they'd written, not, I don't know if this is what they said, because it was just a still of a journalist asking a question, but she said, we are the general public. Like, do you know what I mean? How do you differentiate between the you and the general public? I always find the general public's a really bizarre phrase to use. But anyway, the general public have been complaining about it.
Yeah, you know them when you see them, the general public. Yeah, and it just annoyed me because, well, I'll tell you what both the complaints are. I'm not ashamed. One of the complaints was, and by the way, these have been submitted to my management.
Should we be talking about these? Are these still under investigation?
I don't care. They can sack me if they want to. That's fine. I'm looking for a way out of that job anyway. Basically, they pulled me aside and said, "Oh, we've had a written complaint." I said, "Okay, what did I do?" Because I normally go out of my way to try and be friendly and nice to people. Believe it or not, and. He said, "Oh yeah, one of the customers is complaining, saying, 'Oh, you left his parcel on the doorstep.'" Now I had to suddenly start watching my words here, because you're not really supposed to do
that.
Well,
this, I was going to say this, Ben. I mean, if we caught you out already here, that you're breaking some sort of protocol, just leaving it on his doorstep. This doesn't sound like the Royal Mail's way of doing things, Ben.
And when I say you're not really allowed to do that, what I actually mean is you're not allowed to do that.
So already, Ben, I would imagine we're into written warning status,
so
if not dismissal.
I said, "So what's the story here? I don't really understand what the problem is." He said, "Oh, well, basically the guy said he heard a knock at the door."
Yeah.
He got off the sofa, he walked to the door, and then he opened the door and he saw his parcel on the doorstep and you weren't there.
Oh, you do doing the delivery man thing of not giving people time to get to the door.
I had to be careful with how I phrased it, and I just said, "Okay, I'll make sure that never happens again." And what I mean when I say that to my manager is that man will never receive another parcel ever again. I will put red slips through his letterbox for the rest of time. Enjoy every trip you have to make to the depot. I hope it costs you a fortune in petrol, my friend. Well, don't cross your postman.
We seem to have stepped over very quickly the fact that you broke the code. What you should be doing, Ben, as a decent human being, is saying, "I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. I'll knock the next time I'm going past. I'll apologise to the van. I'll make things well again." And everyone would be like, Postman Pat would do that, you know. If you take your example as the finest postman there ever was, he would knock on the door and he'd say, "I'm sorry, Mrs. Goggins, that I left the parcel on your doorstep yesterday. That won't happen again."
I did say that. You're not listening. I did say that. I said, I'll keep an eye on that. It will not happen again. Hmm. I will not leave any parcels on his doorstep. Believe me, that won't happen again.
Yes, but what you're doing is making a decision never to deliver a parcel to him. You're not even going to knock on the door next time. I mean, I can tell you, we talked about this before, from my own experience, the little time you give people to get to the door. I mean, how old is this man? Maybe he's a little bit elderly, needs time to get to the front door, but oh no, you're off.
He's not that elderly. He's probably mid-50s, early 60s. He's not old enough to
be
decrepit.
He may have movement difficulties, Ben.
I mean, his issue was that he had to bend over and pick something up. Is that it?
I think the issue is that you left a parcel unguarded, that there might have been a valuable item in this parcel. Had he not have been in, Ben, it could have been stolen. There could have been a whole raft of problems. The police might have been involved. You would have been arrested.
Right. Okay. Annoyingly, you're siding with this guy. So I'm going to give you complaint number two. Right. And by the way, complaint number two, technically speaking, I am still in the wrong. But here we go.
Right, that's an early admission. We'll move on.
An old dear got in touch.
The prosecution rests.
Another written complaint to my management, by the way. Just bear in mind the maliciousness of a written complaint.
I'm amazed at written complaints getting to the management so fucking quickly. I mean, the way the post is at the moment, about 4 weeks before it arrives.
And I can't give out actual addresses, but she basically said, "Well, I live at number 74 so-and-so street, and you delivered a letter for me for 74 somewhere else. Can't you bother to read the mail?" And I was waiting for a letter from the doctor.
Oh.
I just thought, I don't give a fuck. But
the carefree postman not caring about a little old lady.
Me and this old lady, right, we dealt with it on the street. And when I
when you say you dealt with it on the street, like a fight, proper like street fight. really dirty. I bet she was dirty. She was kicking you in the knackers.
When I say we dealt with it on the street, I mean we had a conversation on the street. So we dealt with it on the street. And I said, I'm terribly sorry. I do admit that is my fault. When you're doing one of these things, you don't... I know it sounds silly, but you don't really read the full address every time. You sort of trust your mail sorting thing, which actually isn't done by me. So it's another little layer of my defense. But still, right. It's a mistake.
Pass in the buck.
It's a mistake I should have spotted. I'm very sorry. I will try my best to keep an eye out for that in future. Bear in mind, I do deliver to about 600 or 700 houses every single day. So if you'll understand, the occasional mistake will happen. I'm very sorry. I'll keep an eye on it for you. The next letter, she lodges a formal complaint with my manager.
Wow.
Is that necessary?
That's probably not necessary.
Now, bear in mind, in a cost of living crisis, you could get... You don't know my situation. I could be on a final warning. And that could be...
I'm surprised you're not, the way you go about things. I don't know how you've kept this job for so long. The
a simple
attitude of just slapdashery.
A simple missort could be the difference between my ability to keep the lights on at home and feed the family. This is insane. When did people get so fucking rude?
Well, I'm assuming now that two written complaints. I mean. Have they just been brushed under the carpet by management, or what's happening next, Ben? Where are you in the process?
Well, I'm not, because I'm already throwing myself under the bus. I'm not going to name anyone, of course, but yes, there was a gratifying whiff of some people haven't got anything better to do when I was told about this. So I don't think I'm in big trouble. I think I'm okay.
The thing is, right, where I will defend you is I think I get letters occasionally through the letterbox that aren't for me, and I just pop them back in a letterbox next time I pass.
Thank you.
I don't think that's
the correct thing to do.
To be getting too stressed out about, even if you are waiting. Because the thing is, the doctor's letter's not relevant in the argument here, is it?
No.
Because if she's waiting for a doctor's letter, that's got nothing to do with a letter that's not for her.
But I know, but it was her opening gambit. She marched up to me, "Don't you bother reading the mail." And I thought, hang on a minute, love. We've gone from 0 to 60 here. No one starts a conversation like this. That could be a completely rational explanation. And there was a simple mistake has taken place. Calm down.
Well, I hope that you can make friends with these customers again.
No, she's marked as well now. Right,
she's definitely got not getting that doctor's letter, is she? So you'll see it. Oh, it's from the doctor's surgery. Well, I don't think we'll be getting that for a few days, will we, love?
Yeah, she's going to really have to need that medication before it comes, I tell you.
Well, I think we're learning a lot about you today, then. Unbelievable. Well, I'm sorry you've had a week of complaints.
Thank you. And just as a word of advice, it doesn't just apply to posties. It applies to anyone who... Your bin men. It applies to anyone who comes to your property and does a service for you. Don't piss them off, because some of them can be as petty as I am.
You say come to your... Not many people come to your door and perform a good service these days, do they? People just come to the door. And if it's all right, you sort of take that. You go, yeah, that'll do. You know, I mean, you talk about the dustman. I mean, just... fucking put it back somewhere near my house. Can I just tell you as well that I saw this week that my council, who are a fucking useless bunch of arseholes, who have been made bankrupt 3 times over the...
That's impressive.
They are looking to put our council tax up an unprecedented 15%. It's a special raise they're looking to...
That's a bit steep.
..to try and get some money back. Well, if that is the case, if I'm going to have to pay 15% in council tax, I want my bins put back in to my property for that sort of money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want it just strewn everywhere, willy-nilly. Talking of rubbish, though, I said something odd's happening. My front garden, right,
yeah,
has suddenly become strewn with empty packets of cat food, I think it is, cat or dog food.
This is not the first time unwanted objects have arrived in your front garden. This, however, though, is one of the less disgusting things to arrive in your front garden.
Well, you say that because the other day, one of the packets was on the front path with all the food out of it, all over the front path.
Oh.
So I can only see, I'm thinking it's probably a fox or a cat.
No, that doesn't make sense, because if it was a fox, they'd have eaten the bloody food.
Well, that's a good point. And then there's this other stuff. I don't know what it is. I think it's the inside of a nappy. You know, like the stuff inside of a nappy that soaks up all the...
Ugh.
There seems to be a bunch of that in the front garden now.
Have you complained about your postman recently?
No. Or the bin man. I've not done any complaining. I just want to be left alone. But it's weird that there's...
You must have upset somebody.
I can't have upset anyone. I don't go out. I don't do anything to upset anyone. What I think my front garden is because I leave it... I don't want to say in an untidy state, but I leave it very wild, shall we say.
Right, so you're thinking that, again, the general public might consider it a sort of natural dump.
Well, I think either that people think they can just throw things over, which they do, because when I do tidy up, you find all kinds of cans and shit that people have thrown over. I mean, what is wrong with people? I get a little bit annoyed when people put stuff... I don't know what I shouldn't, but I do get a little bit annoyed when I see people put stuff in my bin as they walk past. But at least they're putting it in a bin.
Yes. I mean, you're preaching to the choir here. Again, not to make everything about my life as a postman, because it kind of is the most exciting thing about me, and it's fucking boring as it is. But yes, I've in the last month or two had to empty out dog shit and chicken bones from a letterbox. So if they're putting it in the bin, count yourself lucky. They could be posting it through your door, mate.
Chicken bones?
It's so big. Bizarre. It's so bizarre.
Who's posting chicken bones? And why are you taking... Sorry, I don't get this. Where are the chicken bones? Someone's putting chicken bones through your letterbox.
Not my home letterbox, into right. a postbox that I have to...
Oh, into a postbox.
Yeah,
right.
People tend to treat it like a public bin.
Oh,
I have considered putting a little sticker on there saying, have a soul, you heartless bastard. A human being has to empty this fucking thing.
Is that
thing.
An official Royal Mail sign?
Keep your dog shit out of it.
But, I mean, the dog shit, I can sort of get that maybe someone who's not got very good sight, they see a red box and, you know, is it a square letterbox? Is it like
I reckon it's that old deer who lives at number 74, but I can't prove it yet.
Should we put it through your own letterbox before you know it? But no, I just think, you know, I don't mind if they do put things in my bin, although I get a little bit annoyed when I see people do it. But I think at least you put it in the bin. Well, why do people just throw stuff over? So either people just throw stuff over, but I think I wonder whether my front garden is a little bit of a wildlife hub.
It doesn't make my... I don't believe it's a fox, because I think a fox would definitely eat the food.
I mean, all the other packets are empty. There was just a little bit strewn across the front path.
Yeah, but
day.
You don't own a cat.
Well, so no, I don't.
Where is the cat food rubbish coming from?
Well, I don't know, because there's quite a lot of them. I reckon there's like a... There must be... I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know. It's weird.
Suggesting that if it's a wild animal, they're emptying someone else's bin who does own a cat, not eating the food. By the way, why is somebody throwing away a full can of cat food? And then they're bringing the empty rubbish to your address... For what reason?
This makes no sense. No, what I'm saying is that they're probably... I don't know over what period these have amassed in the front garden. They all seem to have appeared over a couple of days over the last week. And what I'm thinking is that somewhere, somebody had thrown out either a bag full of... Maybe they're out of date. I haven't picked one up to have a look. But some pouches of cat food. Maybe someone had a cat who, you know, is no longer with us, sadly. And so they were throwing out the food. The cats or the foxes have found them, and they've come to my front garden because they sense it to be a safe place and eat their food without being bothered by other scavengers.
Potentially. It's not a bad theory, although you are omitting the fact that in the past you have found human excrement on your front garden pathway. I think you're the victim of a hate crime. You just can't work out who hates you.
Now, Ben, I thought what we could do this week is have a look at some famous philosophical dilemmas.
Because we are the pair to, you know, solve them, obviously.
Well, I tell you what brought me to this idea was that I overheard a conversation the other day about the famous would you go back and kill the baby Hitler thing.
Right.
Which we will come to, I think, in a little while. But I thought could have a look at a couple of others that are quite sort of well-known philosophical dilemmas. But I thought we
now,
could... sort of...
I should warn you. You were kind enough to send me a list of these beforehand. And not only can I not necessarily answer them, I fail to understand the majority of them. So we could be onto a loser
this
here.
This could be a waste of everyone's time, couldn't it?
We'll give it a go.
Okay. Well, let's start with what is known as the overcrowded lifeboat.
Right.
Now, there seems to be two different versions of this. I'm going to go for the slightly easier version to explain.
Thank you. Okay. Dumb it down for me.
So here's the scenario. A ship is sinking and there is room for 6 people in the lifeboat, but there are 10 passengers.
Okay.
The passengers are a woman who thinks she's 6 weeks pregnant, a lifeguard, 2 young adults who are recently married, a senior citizen who has 15 grandchildren, a school teacher, 13-year-old twins, a veteran nurse, and the captain of the ship.
Should I be writing this down?
Might be a good idea. Now, of course, the big question is, which 4 do you leave behind to drown?
Well, that's quite a brutal question.
I know it's awful to say, but I think the captain has to go down with the ship.
Right.
So I think you strike him off. And any captain who's wanting to get in the lifeboat, you know, not worth his salt as a captain, is he? I mean, the captain will always go down with the ship. So if he's
trying
to...
That's not a law, though, is it?
Well, it's sort of a law. It's the law of the sea. Law of the sea, the captain goes down with the ship. Everyone knows that. So if he's trying to clamber in, I'll be going, no, sorry, mate. You decided to wear that hat.
You I know it's pay horrible, the consequences. But I don't think it's legitimately... I don't think it would hold up in court that the captain has to die with his ship.
Well, I'm just saying that any captain worthy sea salt
yes.
would go down with his ship. So he shouldn't be getting in the lifeboat. So that's the decision. I've made that first cull straight away.
Okay. I'll make cull number 2, the old boy. He has to go.
Oh, he's got 15 grandchildren.
Yes, but he's also lived the majority of his life.
Right.
Whereas the others haven't so much. Also, this girl who thinks she's pregnant. Yeah. I did notice that distinction.
Right, so you think she's trying to... She's like, no, I am pregnant. No, I am. Come on, let me on. I am pregnant.
I imagine if I was in a terrible situation where there's limited lifeboats, I might think I'm pregnant all of a sudden.
Yeah, but I think people would see through that. Like, again, if I'm on the ship, I've already told the captain to fuck off, and then you're there saying, well, I think I'm pregnant. I'm going, well, no, you're fucking not.
This is
I know
very
we live in a day and age where all sorts of things are possible, but you are not pregnant, mate.
Are you telling me I can't identify as a pregnant woman? Because I think that's, again, a hate crime, and you'll be finding more detritus on your front garden before you know it.
Look, let's not get too far into this discussion. I can happily accept you identifying in whatever way you want, but biologically, you are not pregnant.
Fine.
That's all I'm saying, Ben.
Very rude. That's all I'm saying. Very rude.
What if she is pregnant, though? I mean, are you demanding a pregnancy test as she's trying to get on the boat? Because we might not have time for a pregnancy test, Ben.
You said she thinks she's pregnant.
She thinks she's pregnant.
And by all accounts, I can tell you I think I'm pregnant. I might be as wrong as she is, but I still think it.
Even if she's not pregnant, this is a young woman we're talking about. Are you condemning her?
I would be happy to condemn her, but not if she's actually pregnant. But otherwise, she can take a running jump with the captain.
Wow. Now, a lifeguard. Do we need a lifeguard? If we're on a lifeboat, do we need a lifeguard?
Not really. The lifeguard's kind of failed at his job at this point because he's not really provided enough life support. So I think he can. I think we've done it. We've got the captain, the old man, the incompetent lifeguard, and the liar. They're all going overboard. We've solved it.
Wow. So, I mean, I just thought about the twins. We could have one. I think a nurse is worth having, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Good self-preservation trip. Not because she's a nurse that's a valuable member of society, but because if I get sick, she might be able to help me.
School teacher, really? I mean...
Now, hang on a minute. Some of your close friends are school teachers, Matt. I'm not sure you want to... advocate throwing them overboard, do you?
Not my friends who are teachers, but I could think of some of the teachers I had at school who I'd gladly see sink to the depths. So what we say, so
they've
said,
got plenty of time for all these cruises, haven't they, with all the holidays they get?
They don't like by the way.
They hate it. That's why I said it, yeah. Just really needle them.
Say, no, we work in the holidays.
A, B, B+, C. Yeah. Must be really hard.
Well, your primary school teacher, was that drawing? I don't mean it, by the way. I don't mean it.
I haven't got friends who are teachers, mate. I'm fine. You're in big trouble.
Right, so we've decided then. Okay, so capture the ship. He's gone.
Yep.
You're chucking a woman who thinks she's pregnant overboard. It's gone.
Can we clarify if she is pregnant or not?
Well, we'd have to do a test, wouldn't we?
So the answer is no, we can't clarify.
Well, it depends on how much time we've got. I mean, how long do you have to wait for a pregnancy test? I don't know. But
actually, you know what? I'm just realizing, other than the fact she might be lying, I don't really know why I'm condemning her so fast.
No, you've just got who thinks she's pregnant. That's all you've picked upon. I think
it's because you wouldn't accept my thinking that I was pregnant. Very unwoke of you in 2020.
It's not unwoke. You can't be pregnant.
Well, I think that's incredibly rude. But I think I might have condemned her a little bit too fast. She might get a seat on the boat, but I can't think who else should go in her place. Are we saying one of the twins?
Oh, they're 13, mate. You can't be throwing children overboard, can you?
Oh, well, who's left?
It's the teacher, isn't it?
What, just by dint of being a teacher?
Or the nurse.
No, we need the nurse. We need the nurse. In case we get sick, we need the nurse.
Well, we've got to choose between the school teacher or the allegedly pregnant woman.
Can we just flip a coin at this point?
Can we get the veteran nurse to do a bit of a test on the woman? Let's get the nurse to confirm the pregnancy.
That's a great idea.
So we've got the nurse, she can do that. If the woman's pregnant, she stays, the teacher goes. If she's lying, well,
yeah,
you reap what you sow, love.
I like that. If she, mind you, she could quite innocently think she's pregnant when she's not. But yes, I think if she's going to claim she's pregnant to get a seat on the boat, we'll let the nurse decide, and then she can walk the plank if she isn't. Simple.
Wow. Well, there we are. I think we've solved the problem. I don't know what that says about us. Okay, right. Let's do the big one then.
Hitler. Okay. Hitler. I've been thinking about this all day.
Okay, well, let's just go through the thing. So suppose a scientist invents a time machine and it enables you to go back to 1889 to the place where Hitler's born. There's the child. Now you're alone in the baby's nursery. You have full knowledge about the monster he will become and the millions of innocent people he will kill. Do you murder the infant Adolf Hitler or let him live?
Well, I thought about this for a long time, and there is one key question in my mind.
Go on.
Will I go down in history with the plaudits I deserve for preventing the disasters he would bring onto the world? Or would I just be... Because there's a big distinction, isn't there? You can do the same crime, kill baby Hitler.
Yeah.
And you can either be going down in history as Ben the baby killer or Ben the Holocaust preventer. And one of those is quite a good thing. One of those is not a good thing. So would at the time people be grateful for my intervention, or would I go down in history as someone who murdered a baby?
Well, you see, what we've got to remember is you've gone back in time. So to everyone back in the time you've gone to, they will assume this is an innocent baby that you have killed.
Well, it would be. So they'd be correct.
So the history would then follow this story that would travel down the ages of Ben the baby killer.
But isn't there a paradox regarding this, where if you go back in time and kill a baby before they've managed to grow up into the monster they would eventually become, then they never got a chance to commit their crime. Mm. So therefore, all you've done is gone back in history and killed a baby.
Yeah.
It's not a good look, is it?
It's not a good look. It's not good. There's also the argument that even by killing a baby Hitler, would you prevent the killing of thousands and millions of people anyway? Because the world would have evolved in a way, you still had some terrible people around.
So what you're suggesting is kind of like... And I am nowhere near educated enough to actually talk about this at length, but basically what people claim to say about when they got rid of Saddam Hussein, that kind of birthed ISIS, which was a lot worse. You're saying that killing Hitler before he got a chance to do what he did might have, you know, who knows, there could be someone even worse, exactly. Double Hitler, I mean, who might have come along.
Mussolini might have been just as bad as Hitler. It's, you know, just Mussolini kind of got in with Hitler But maybe Mussolini on his own may have become even more brutal and catastrophic for the world.
Yes, but to say, no, I won't intervene, means that you're not complicit as such, but it kind of suggests you're generally okay with the extermination of 6 million people, which also not a good look. There's a reason this is a philosophical conundrum, isn't
it? Well, it is.
It's a fucking nightmare, this.
What about the thought that you don't have to kill the baby Hitler? If you can go back in time, could you not just kidnap him or even adopt him and bring him up with different thoughts and ideals?
Yeah, but that wasn't the question, was it? The question was, would you kill baby Hitler? You can't start... See, you're doing the same thing. I asked this conundrum earlier on to Mrs. Ben, and she was quite pro Hitler must be stopped. I mean, I was relieved, but that's quite... She was very pro let's stop Hitler.
Yeah.
But she also said, I'm not sure I could bring myself to kill a baby, even if it is baby Hitler, because that's just barbaric. That's a terrible thing to even consider.
Yes.
And for that, I thought, well, that's very sweet of you. But if this philosophical problem was, if you could go back in time and tell Hitler to just pack it in, then I'm not sure it'd be quite as significant a riddle, would it?
Yeah, well,
hey,
no.
Cut it out. We've all had a drink. That's enough of that. No more.
But he's a baby. you've got to make a decision on whether to kill this baby, or maybe, like I said, maybe choose a different path. This is sorely open for all kinds of discussions about what you could
do. No, it's not. The question is, would you... And the only way of preventing it is to kill baby Hitler. You can't start saying, oh, no, I'd take him, I'd love him, I'd adopt him, I'd give him a lovely life. You can't do that. The question is, if the way of preventing the atrocities of Adolf Hitler are to kill him as a baby, would you do it? You can't start floating around the rules.
Let me just talk hypothetically for a moment about the adoption idea. You see, the thing is, in that scenario, I could take the baby and not kill it.
you're breaking the rules of the question.
Just bear with me for a second.
All right, I'll bear with you. I'm sorry.
I mean, you can't just be so prescriptive in the boundaries of this question, Ben. This is a huge philosophical question, and surely other things can be thrown into the melting pot. But I'm not sure I could adopt the little Hitler myself, knowing what that baby would become. But the what I could Hitler. Do is adopt it to someone who doesn't know what the baby will become, but I can sort of explain that the baby needs to be brought up with love, affection, and ideally no ideas of genocide.
To understand, the reason it's a philosophical problem is because the act of having to kill a baby is quite shocking. So you can't come in and bend the rules like this. I know I was trying to bear with you, but you're still insisting on breaking the rules of the question.
Okay.
Because what you're trying to do is say, oh, yeah, I'd like to go back in time and say to Hitler, just hey, none of that. But that's not an option. If it was that simple, we'd all do that.
So the question is, would you kill baby Hitler?
Yes.
You would.
Sorry, that was my that was my answer. That was me establishing that is what the question is.
All right. it's just a baby. At that point, an innocent.
I know.
But would you? So the question is: Do you allow him to grow, make the decisions he made? I mean, I think if you can go back in history, surely there are other things you could do rather than just kill Hitler.
You could just ask his dad to put a condom on. That might do the same thing.
Go back a little bit further.
Yeah.
Why not?
There you go.
Hitler's the etiquette of contraception.
Although arguably, then you're contributing to genocide with that whole... I'm being disgusting.
The thing is, I don't know, were they Catholics, the Hitlers?
I don't know.
Because they might have, that might not have been an option for them.
Right. I hadn't considered that.
Because, I mean, really, he became very extreme after the First World War. So maybe you could go back and intervene at that point, stage an intervention at that point.
You never hear about Hitler's parents, do you, really?
No, you don't hear about Ma and Pa Hitler, do you?
No. They must get quite a bad rep by association, I imagine.
Their names were Alois and Clara Hitler.
Sorry, Lois and Clara?
Alois. A-L-O-I-S.
Right.
And Clara. Yeah, you never hear about Alois and Clara. And they were probably a nice couple.
Because they went wrong somewhere.
They weren't responsible for...
No, they weren't.
It's not their fault that their kid went off the rails after the First World War, after he had a bollock taken off of him.
Yeah. So, I mean, you sound dangerously close to starting a GoFundMe page for the Hitlers.
The thing is, though, I mean, there will obviously be descendants of the Hitler family around.
How quickly would you change your name?
Oh, I mean, you wouldn't be a Hitler anymore, would you? Surely you wouldn't want that name. I wonder if anyone calls their child Adolf these days as well.
I think Adolfo still exists.
Adolfo?
Yeah, but okay. Yes, very much like you, I don't think there are many Adolfs.
All right, well, let's wrap this up. So the question is, would you, Ben Harmer, if you could go back in time and kill baby Hitler, would you do it?
No. But I'm not happy about that either. But I can't say I'd be incapable of killing a baby deliberately. It's just a repellent question. It's caused some interesting conversation, but I wouldn't have it in me to murder a baby, no. Would you, Trev Smith, kill baby Hitler?
Again, I don't think I could do it. And also, by doing it, I couldn't guarantee that history still wouldn't play out an act of murderous villainy at some point.
Or play out worse, yeah.
You know, so I couldn't guarantee that. If I could guarantee that, I might consider it.
I think you'd have to, but you'd need that guarantee, because that is literally then a mathematical problem, which is one life versus 6 million plus, which isn't really much of a competition, is it? So
No.
That would make it easier, but if you can't have that guarantee either, then I'm kind of with you. Yeah. I'd rather not be the baby murdering guy.
I'd send the captain of the ship to do it if I could. I think that's
and that pregnant woman.
Yeah. Right, do you want to look at one more of these?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Right, this is called Newcomb's problem.
Oh, God.
William Newcomb was a theoretical physicist at the University of California, and he set a puzzle. Okay. Now, there are two closed boxes.
His name is Will Newcomb.
William Newcomb.
Will Newcomb.
Will Newcomb. There are two closed... Concentrate, Ben.
Sorry, I'm listening.
There are two closed boxes. Box A contains $1,000. Box B contains either nothing or $1 million, but you don't know which. You have two options. Take both boxes or take box B only.
Sorry. Take both boxes as an option.
Take both boxes is an option, yes.
Why wouldn't I do that?
Let me tell you the rest of the thing.
Sorry, I'm jumping the gun all over the place today.
Now, the test has been arranged by... See, I'm beginning to question your thing about who to throw overboard now, because you sort of jump to a very quick conclusion about things. And it worries me, this, that your decision-making may be questionable.
I thought you were going to throw me off the boat next.
In a life-and-death situation.
Right. I promise you I'll stop interrupting. I'll listen.
Now, the test has been arranged by a super-intelligent being that has a 90% accuracy record in predicting which option you will choose. Okay? Now, if she predicts that you will take both boxes, she'll put nothing in box B. If she predicts you will take only box B, she will put a check for $1 million inside it.
Okay.
So, it seems simple. Take both boxes. The least you'll get is $1,000. The most you'll get is $1,000,000.
Right.
But if she's predicted you'll take both boxes, she'll leave nothing in box B.
So, I've got this prior knowledge, but that won't change what she predicts I'll do.
The predictions have already been made. The money's placed or not placed in the boxes. Your decision cannot possibly change what's in the boxes. She's made that decision. She's seen you. She's predicted what you're going to do.
Okay.
So what do you do?
I would take box B.
So you forego the $1,000.
Yes.
And you would just hope that she's seen you as the sort of person who would just take box B.
Well, I can't control how she perceives me or how she predicts me. So that's completely out of my control. So there's 0 point in me worrying about that. So what I have to say is, will $1,000 change my life? It would be nice to have $1,000 in the pocket, but it won't change my life. Would a million? Certainly. So the payoff, if you win the million, is so much exponentially higher than the loss of losing $1,000 that you'd be insane not to take the gamble on winning a million. And if you don't win a million, that's annoying. But if the if the upshot is you don't win $1,000, I mean, I'd like $1,000, but I'll be all right.
Well, you're in a sort of majority. They did a test on this, and 53% said that they would take just box B.
Oh, it's quite a Brexit-y split, that.
Yeah. And the rest said that they would choose both boxes. See, I don't know. I might pick box B up and give it a little shake. Because if she's still using a check, you might just hear that fluttering around inside the box.
Do you honestly think if it was as simple as that, that would be an acceptable answer for this conundrum? This is you trying to raise baby Hitler again. This is just not the point of the question.
I'm just saying that you've got to think these things through. It's a bit like Taskmaster. You've got to think literally outside the box if you're going to, you know, benefit from your actions.
You are comparing killing.
And I'd like to have a little chat with. Baby. I'd like to have a chat with this super intelligent woman before
as
I
an episode
the box.
Of Taskmaster.
I'd like to have a little chat with her beforehand.
Those aren't the. You are infuriated. Normally, I'm Mr. Loophole trying to get out of things. You're doing it tonight, and you are breaking all the rules of the questions.
Well, it doesn't say I can't have a chat with her, does it? So why can't I have a little chat with her? Just sort of break the ice a little bit, get to know her, maybe see if I can, you know, just from eye movements or whatever, see if I can work out what she's thought I'm going to do anyway.
See, I thought I gave a fairly thoughtful answer to that problem, and you are just taking the rule book, ripping it up, and thinking, can I have a chat with her? Maybe I can, you know, offer to split it with her. We could run away together and she could have half a million too.
Why not? She might think she's pregnant. So well, that's it for another week. Before we go, as always, a couple of recommendations for you, Ben.
Lovely. Okay.
First of all, I'm going to recommend Happy Valley. The final series came to an end this week. And,
you know, I've never seen it. Is it that good?
Oh, I think it's incredible. And it's been a long wait for the third series. It must be about 7 or 8 years since the last series. So it's been a long old wait, but it was worth it. And I haven't recommended it before now because I've been saving it up so I could binge watch it. And I binge watched it over the weekend, so I was all ready for the final episode. And it met expectations, if not exceeded them.
Excellent.
It's fantastic. And the other thing which I'm now binge watching with the final episode went out this week is His Dark Materials, which I just love. I read the books years ago. The weird thing is, I thought, you know, it's a weird thing when you read a book. I mean, it must be 15 years ago I read these books. And in my mind, I had it pretty much, you know, I remembered pretty much all the salient facts. And when you watch it then turn into a TV show years later, which is very true to the books, as I understand it, I think I've forgotten so much of it I'd forgotten.
Really?
But it's such a good show. I mean, it's not everyone's cup of tea. It's a bit kind of fantasy. It's kind of in the realms of, you know, I don't know, not Lord of the Rings, but it's that sort of fantasy thing.
I've heard of it, but I have no idea what the sort of premise of it is.
I mean, it's about sort of different worlds, travelling to different worlds, and there's this dust is what they're trying to work out what dust is to start with. And it's kind
dust.
Of... Dust, yeah.
Sorry, this programme's big selling point is dust, is it?
Well, you've got to watch it. But it's sort of allegorical about the church, really, which it's sort of about a battle against an overpowerful church. That's really what it's about.
Okay.
I've got three episodes to finish, which
I'm
I shall
sure
finish.
It's better than it sounds.
No, it's fantastic. It really is. And the other thing I'm going to recommend is a film. It's called Nobody Knows I'm Here. It's a Chilean film.
Ooh.
It's a very gentle film. It's on Netflix. And it stars a guy who I recognise. He's from, I think it's Lost. He was in Lost.
Right.
But the story is he's a former child singer. And he's traumatised by his experiences because when he was a child, basically, they didn't think he had the looks to be a singer. So they got a sort of better looking kid to be the star, but it was his voice. And then he becomes a recluse. And it's just about his story of sort of finding himself again.
Okay.
I liked it.
Sounds all right.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's called Nobody Knows I'm Here.
Sounds better than the show about Dust.
It's not just about Dust. It's a lot more to it than that. So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget you can get in touch with us anytime. Rutcho and Bill on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.